listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. We'll be joined very shortly by Lisa Logan. I just want to point out, I guess, the obvious, which is that these problems that Kamala Harris is supposedly trying to solve by promising vast new federal controls of the economic system, the problems that they're solving are caused by their own policies. And it's just all a deception. It's just all obviously a deception. So she wants to implement the first ever federal ban on food price hikes with sweeping new powers for federal authorities. The problem is that they are actively attempting to shut down our ability to produce food on a large scale. You get how absurd it is that they're talking about putting limits on price gouging on food while simultaneously and ruthlessly shutting down farming in the Netherlands, number two exporter of food in the world. That they are talking about putting, trying to limit the number of cows you can have, the number of farmland that's arable because of carbon dioxide production. They're trying to limit the production of food while simultaneously telling you that they're going to do government programs to limit the price of food. So they're limiting the supply, bring in tens of millions of people, jacking up the demand, and then telling you they're going to keep everything stable by forcing food companies to charge a lower amount. This is nonsense. This is utter nonsense, and it should be obvious. There are some disturbing things happening in terms of food prices in grocery stores. It's not price gouging per se, and it's not something that price limitations need to be enacted to solve. It's things like this. Major grocery store chain questioned about rideshare style surge pricing. So you may have noticed this. In many grocery stores, there are now digital price tags on things. Kroger uses digital labels at 500 stores. And they're worried that grocery stores are using these digital labels to jack up prices when their store is busiest. Widespread adoption of digital price tags appears poised to enable large grocery stores to squeeze consumers to increase profits. It's called dynamic pricing. Could result in grocery bills being adjusted like airline tickets. And Kamala Harris is also talking about giving $25,000 to new home buyers for a down payment, which is nice, although I'll point to Orrin McIntyre, who made the obvious point. Anyone looking for a first home gets, if everyone looking for a first home gets $25,000, I'm going to predict an increase in the price of starter homes of roughly $25 across the board. I am very good at economics. This exact thing happened with electric cars, where they did a subsidy where electric cars would get, I can't remember the exact number, but I mean, it was the exact number. It was like every electric car will get a $10,000 subsidy from the government. And then the next week, Ford increased its prices by $10,000, just one-to-one. Oh, your government's giving us $10,000? Well, now it's $10,000 more. So that is obviously what's going to happen. But if you want to make prices more affordable, there's a couple things you can do other than give money away. You could stop BlackRock and other private equity firms from buying up entire neighborhoods to rent them out in a deliberate reconfiguration of real estate itself in this country. You could stop illegal immigrants from coming in by the tens of millions and squeezing the house prices. You could also stop illegal immigrants from taking American jobs at lower pay to, you know, increase the average pay across the country and let people afford homes. See, the reason homes are unaffordable now is not because people stopped getting $25,000, right? They're not solving the problem. It's like, if you have a headache, it's not because you have a Tylenol deficiency, right? Your lack of Tylenol is not what caused the headache. So taking it isn't really going to cover it up. If you want to get to the part of the issue, you have to look at the underlying disease, which is the debt.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Tired of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. InfoWars.com, InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support us. I'm very happy to be welcoming once again Lisa Logan to the show. She is a concerned parent exposing the sinister agenda behind social emotional learning programs that are destroying children's minds across America. You can find her YouTube channel, Parents of Patriots 6581. That's Parents of Patriots 6581. Or additional comedy from her on X at I Am Lisa Logan. That's at I Am Lisa Logan. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me back, Harrison.
Thank you. I'm very glad to have you back. And again, I think this is a topic that's worth returning to periodically to remind ourselves of how we got to this situation, where it all begins, what the subtle, you know, mental poison that has slowly been working its way through our country for decades, social emotional learning. And when I read in your intro that there's a sinister agenda behind this, I mean, it goes a lot deeper than just sort of softening up the American people to be easily exploited, right? I mean, that's the obvious effect. But when you talk about a sinister agenda, tell us what you've discovered about the origins of this program, SEL, Social Emotional Learning.
Right. Well, when I started researching social emotional learning a little over 3 years ago, it was horrifyingly clear that they were using this program that was put into schools supposedly to help kids to recognize and manage their emotions, set healthy goals, build long-lasting and healthy relationships, to introduce and indoctrinate children into critical race and queer theory, as well as radical environmentalism in line with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. If that wasn't bad enough, then I discovered that they were measuring and tracking children's adoption of these mindsets, beliefs, and behaviors, and actually giving them a score, much like you would have if you, for instance, you know, were trying to get good at math and you wanted to measure your adoption of, you know, fractions. They actually were scoring them to see how well they were taking on these particular soft skills, which are very subjective and open to interpretation. I never expected to discover what we're going to be talking about today, which is that the whole ideology behind social emotional learning, and in fact, the whole field of emotional intelligence it's based upon, was actually born out of a radical religious cult ideology that's based in ancient mystical Eastern religions. And this ideology really just wants to get children to adopt collective beliefs over individual values, to believe that it's the common good that matters more than your freedoms and rights. And really, it's the whole idea behind it is that we come to this global consciousness because these wackadoo people actually believe that we need this global consciousness in order to make the next evolutionary leap in human evolution to this being of love. And that they're using these programs through social-emotional learning to actually indoctrinate children into this whole worldview where that matters.
Yeah, I mean, let's not bury the lead here. This is This is what it says. The intention of social emotional learning from the Fetzer Institute was to, quote, help usher in the age of the archangel Michael, who would lead to the resurrection of the Christ consciousness. So this is like a cult thing. I mean, this is crazy. It starts off with just like, yeah, we want to help kids like sort of handle their emotions better. And you end up with, we are reorganizing humanity into a new collective consciousness to usher in the fourth turning and force evolution into a higher state. I mean, this is crazy. So tell us about the Fetzer Institute, first of all. What is the Fetzer Institute, and how do they how are they involved in social emotional learning?
Well, Fetzer Institute, and really John Fetzer, who was its founder, he was a guy who was really, he was kind of grown up Seventh-day Adventist, you know, started a radio station at his college. He actually ended up leaving Seventh-day Adventism and all of a sudden became the spiritual seeker. So he studied literally everything. We'll probably see one of the videos in the thread here. He literally dabbled in just about every kind of religion and philosophy that there was. But he was heavily influenced, for instance, by the Kabbalion, which was actually written by a New Thought, which a lot of times we now call New Age, writer and philosopher called William Walker Atkinson. So he did crazy things. I mean, he visited this camp called Camp Chesterfield in Michigan and channeled spirits and tried to have people hold pictures of their solar plexuses and try to get pictures of his ancestors that way. I mean, he literally had people channeling for him constantly. And when he was kind of in the beginning of starting his institute, he had this thing called the Monday Night Group, and they would get together and they would recite Alice Bailey, who was an occult theosophist, great invocation. And at the same time, he had his institute, and he wanted to really use his institute to merge science and religion together. He believed that they could be mutually, you know, working together and proving each other. And one of the things he did as a part of that, you know, because he wanted, again, everything his institute did was to bring about the age of the Archangel Michael. Interestingly enough, right? I mean, talk about bearing the lead. This is insane. But for his institute to carry on his legacy, he actually created a trustee group that would hold his board of the Fetzer Institute accountable to this mission. So his symbol of his institute actually was of the Archangel Michael. It was a triangle with Archangel Michael, kind of with his arms open like this. And the crazy part about all this, again, is that his institute bore the, you know, Daniel Goleman, who was a fellow at the institute. They sent him on sabbatical to write the book Emotional Intelligence. They literally funded the whole thing. He came back, it ended up becoming a New York Times bestseller. That whole field of emotional intelligence is what bore out social emotional learning. And they literally launched, through their seed money, the Collaborative for Academic Social Emotional Learning, which is the org that sets all the five standards for all social emotional learning programs. They even rate and review all the programs. And this is where all of this is now inserted into our schools. So the major question remains then, this is a very clearly cult purposes of this whole program to bring about global consciousness and all of this stuff. Why is it in our schools? This is literally a First Amendment violation of our rights, and it's literally basically introducing a statewide sanctioned religion.
Yeah, and you know, as you tell that story, what it reminds me of is Jim Jones. I don't know if you've ever looked into Jonestown and Jim Jones, but sort of the same type of thing where he portrayed himself as Christian, but you know, you can see in his history, he dabbled in a little bit of everything. He clearly had some overarching communistic ideas, and he, in the case of Jim Jones, happened to find that Christianity was just a convenient vessel to sort of launder his disturbed worldview through. And he actually said in his own words that like his intent was to destroy the church from the inside. He thought it was too powerful to be taken on from the outside, so he decided he would pretend to be Christian and lure all these Christians into communism and away from the base of the church. Not to get too far off track, but do you see sort of similar a similar process taking place here? Or, I mean, are these people nominally Christian? Like, how could you implement this and you know, claim that you're ushering in some sort of biblical age, when clearly this is about manipulation. It's underhanded. It's devious. It seems evil to me. I mean, what do you see as the, you know, spiritual makeup of this? What ethereal force is guiding this process?
Well, I think it can blend in very easily with Christianity because they're kind of deceptive. I mean, they do believe in Christ. They believe he was one of the spiritual masters, right? But they believe that there are many spiritual masters. And I think what it really boils down to, I have friends that describe this as oneness versus two-ness, right? Do you believe that you are separate from God? That you're not the same entity, that, you know, even though, you know, these people who believe it basically it was called cosmological monism, where everything kind of started at the same point, and they actually believe that we're going to end up at the same point, but once we reach the stage of global consciousness, but they really believe that through Christ consciousness, which is not what, and again, the language is important, right? Because when you start invoking the name of Christ, you get Christians who are like, oh, you know, I want to be conscious of Christ's, you know, role in my life, and, you know, but that's not what they mean when they say Christ consciousness. It's really the consciousness that you are like God, right? And that you can, through spiritual study, meditation, enlightenment, you can actually become like God and tap into the energies of God and do things like manifest things in your life. And I mean, you saw this heavily promoted during the, basically since the 80s, in Oprah's daily television show that millions of housewives watch. It's been normalized into our culture without telling us that, hey, we're kind of feeding you here the concepts of a religion that believes that all is one. And so this is the problem, that the yoga, the meditation, all that stuff that became very popular, The Secret, you know, mm-hmm. that book that became a movie, all that stuff was normalized in our culture to have it just be okay when they weren't telling you, hey, this is Gnosticism, this is Hermeticism, this is New Thought. And she literally hosted all of those leaders on her show. So I think it's very deceptive because then Oprah will come out and say, I'm a Christian, right? When she really doesn't. She doesn't believe that Christ is her savior. She can believe almost that she can be her own savior by tapping into that Christ consciousness.
Right. It's a very clear distinction between humility and narcissism. And that's something that I know we've pointed out quite a bit. When you break down so many of these movements, these pseudo-spiritual movements, whether it's LGBT or feminism or any of these things, at the end of the day, when you get right down to it, it's self-worship. It's people who are just, they worship themselves. They want themselves to be worshiped as gods. And I was having a conversation with somebody talking about transgenderism. This person was a far lefty, and they said, well, we're all transitioning. So what do you mean we're all transitioning? Well, we're all transitioning out of being human into being gods. Like, that is understood now by the wider public, that is the goal that the people in power say they want for humanity. Then the obvious question is, okay, who's going to be a god and who isn't? Because not everybody can be a god. I mean, break it down for us even more. How is this concept of social emotional learning, and you document this thoroughly on your X. I have a thread here where it's like you have it, you know, chapter and verse. You have the documentation, you have proof of this is exactly what the intention is. This isn't speculation on your part. You're just publishing what these people say. And I think that's important to understand. And you explain how social emotional learning has led to critical race theory and, you know, the exploitation of racial grievances politically. Like, social emotional learning primed the American public to accept this. But talk even deeper about the emotional or the spiritual consequences of this type of program being implemented nationwide.
Well, it has several implications. For one, our students who we're sending to school, right, as parents, we give birth to our children, we love them, we inculcate them with values since the time that they're born and enter our home. And it creates a sort of culture, right, where they belong to that culture. What happens with social emotional learning, when we start breaking down those fundamental cultural and familiar beliefs that are formed and that are tied to something that they feel so secure in, when we start having them question those things and try to break them down so they can adopt new values, it creates disassociation in kids. So it's funny, you know, social emotional learning was brought into schools to help the, what they said, the mental health crisis, right? And it keeps being pushed actually bipartisanly, which is unfortunate, right? I think that we need to start educating people about what this is really about. But it actually hurts their mental health to have their beliefs questioned, to have their family structure rocked, right? Because then they're being one person at school saying, yeah, I believe in these collective beliefs because they want to fit in and they belong at school, right? And actually, and this is actually why I recognized it from the start. I actually belonged to a cult for 7 years of my life, from about the time I was 16 till I was 23. So it kind of hit me that these circle times that they're having with kids, where they're being very vulnerable and sharing personal experiences and their thoughts and their dreams and their worries, they're putting them in a very vulnerable state to be indoctrinated and brainwashed. And it's actually a very targeted thing called sensitivity training. If you look it up, it's actually been used by the military for years to basically brainwash their soldiers harder than the enemy could brainwash them if they ended up on enemy lines. But what it does is it breaks them down. It creates almost like this trauma bonding situation where they feel the sense of belonging at school. And then that's when they hit them with the 1-2 punch, right? Then they start saying, well, if you want to be empathetic toward, you know, Jimmy over here who believes he's Jane, then you need to use his pronouns and you need to accept that he's a girl, even though he's biologically a boy. And so they really weaponize children's sense of kindness. And again, it's groupthink. It's, you know, it's this whole sense of, I mean, and just like you pointed out, the whole ideology of communism, right? The fact that we need to care about the common good because we're all one. You know, if someone doesn't have as much as I do, we need to redistribute wealth and power and resources to them. This is all feeds into this theory of cosmological monism, right? Because if you believe you all came from the same stardust, right? And something that I'm doing on this side of the earth is going to affect you on that side of the earth, then you need to care about that, right? You need to usurp your individual values and your individual rights and freedoms to make sure that that person is provided for, right? Because we're all trying to be a part of the collective good. So this whole theory of spirituality, what they say is spirituality, but just really religion being put into schools, it feeds this sense of communism, socialism, you know, even hermeticism, right? You just talked about gender. Hermeticism has a law of gender, which literally believes that every person has a male and female spirit inside of them. And if they believe that you are just mind and that you're trapped in this physical body, living a human experience, then, you know, your physical manifestation of whatever gender that is, I mean, that can be easily changed. It's not a big deal. And so you can see how a lot of these Eastern and mystical religious thought kind of is now being manifested today in what we're seeing in the culture wars happening right now in America.
Wow. You're really getting to the heart of it. I'm so happy to be having this conversation because it's sort of an obvious question of like, why are they pushing this so hard? Like, what is the underlying cause? Clearly they aren't like actually motivated by what they claim to be motivated by, right? When they talk, you know, why transgenderism is being pushed so hard, it's not to make the quarter of 1% of one per, you know, this tiny population is being abused. And it's not about that. Obviously, it's about something deeper. And the question always is like, but what is it exactly? And is it just, you know, destroying people's resistance to control by breaking it down? I think disassociation sort of lies at the heart of it, and you brought that up a couple times. And of course, anybody who's looked into cult programming, who's looked into MKUltra and Project Mockingbird, or even just, you know, domestic abuse or you know, trauma that you experienced as a little kid, the mental reaction to horrible things is to literally, in your own consciousness, make you think that you're a separate person than the person who witnessed those horrible things. It's a very, very, very powerful psychological reality that's constantly used. And again, you know, yeah, Jim Jones is kind of like the best example because he was, you know, run by the CIA and they were doing these mind control programs, using people's spirituality, separating from their friends, giving them a place where they were, you know, felt like they were involved in something amazing and good. I mean, everything you're explaining, I kind of just want you to keep going. I'm just enjoying listening to you because you're drawing together all of these lines that are so amazing. The problem I see, like talking about the modern age and the way this is being dealt with in elementary schools and stuff, there's a big controversy right now where Texas is trying to get in clergy to be counselors in schools because they don't have enough counselors because the mental health crisis is so bad. And sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation where the world is so messed up that kids who before would just be happy-go-lucky riding their bike, they're depressed, they're transgender, they have all these mental issues. You can't exactly just not address that, right? But also when you bring in these people who have been trained by groups like the Fetzer Group, they only make things worse. So, I mean, in the modern world, when we have this massive plague of mental illness, what should the schools do? What should the parents do? What should people do to confront this issue? Because you can't just ignore it, and yet the things we do to solve it seem to only make it worse. How do you confront the very real, you know, pandemic of a mental health crisis in children these days?
I think we cannot rely on the state to do that for us. You know, governmental programs always come with an agenda and they come with strings. And anytime you throw money at something, you have to measure it. And so then you have to ask yourself, who gets to set the standards of what we measure? How do you define empathy? How do you define perspective taking? How do you define care? Right? Because that's the problem even with the transgender stuff, right? Like, and I'll talk about the chaplains in a minute, but that's a Trojan horse, actually, that I exposed in our state, luckily, to the bill sponsors right before it got out of the second committee, and the bill got trashed. And I just think that when we rely too much on the state and we don't, the reason that kids are having mental health problems is multiple fold, right? We've got social media, you know, I think we have parents who are also disengaged. People don't have dinner together anymore. We don't sit down and have conversations. We're all like this with our phones. And these children are not feeling those types of strong bonds in their family. And this is why they're so susceptible to all of the stuff they see on social media and that they're taught in school that is indoctrination. And so I think we have to start in our own homes. Are you setting boundaries for your kids, right? Are you saying, hey, listen, I only want you to do X amount of hours of screen time a day because you know why? I care about you and it's not healthy for you mentally to do that, right? I want you to learn a new skill. I want you to, like, kids are just so sucked into this world and we're not having that conversation. You know, instead we're like, government, please government me harder, daddy, okay? Right. Like, we can't keep doing that because we're not solving the problems. I think we need to have a return in society to really fostering what does it mean to have a healthy family and have healthy family interactions and engagement. And I think that that's the conversation we should start with as far as solving this problem. Now, the having the people in school, right, the chaplains, that is a big no-no. I actually know that the people who are training those chaplains are using transpersonal psychology and actually inculcating them into this whole idea that there is just one religion that we need to push. Fetzer has been very, very vocal about this at the Parliament of World Religions. They actually have a program going where they call it, they're talking nuns, N-O-N-E-S.
Sorry to interrupt. We got to go to commercial break really quick, but I'm really excited to hear this because I hadn't heard that angle on the chaplain bill. Again, it's just fascinating. We're barely scratching the surface. A lot more to come with Lisa Logan at I Am Lisa Logan on X, Parents of Patriots 6581 on YouTube. This is really
COVID vax causes more heart damage than COVID virus and brain, blood, immune cancer, reproductive study. I mean, there's so many of these studies. What do you make of that?
This finally settled the question, Alex. The COVID vaccine causes myocarditis in young people, not the infection. It's a government false narrative. It's been propagated through the American College of Cardiology and other agencies that the infection causes myocarditis. It doesn't.
Looking at this, then, we see these headlines constantly. When you follow the article, there's no link, there's no proof. It just says COVID's a greater risk of heart problems than the shot, and then they just lie.
It's essentially a giant medical lie perpetrated by the American College of Cardiology, the CDC, the NIH, This is a false narrative. No confirmed cases by adjudication or autopsy. Right. No hospitalizations and deaths. But the vaccine, I'm a cardiologist, Alex. I am knee deep in people with vaccine myocarditis causing heart failure. The vaccines do cause heart arrhythmias in some. It's inflammation in the heart, atrial fibrillation, sometimes ventricular arrhythmias.
COVID shots can enlarge and weaken the heart. Another study.
Heart failure can be an outcome of subclinical myocarditis. It's very important for people to realize they may not feel chest pain initially, but then they have the onset of effort intolerance, a pulmonary edema, congestion, and leg swelling. I have cases from Austin, Alex, referred up to my office. It's vaccine myocarditis and heart failure. They need treatment for this. The go-to is McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification with supplements available through OnlineHealthNow.com.
OnlineHealthNow.com.
We have ample data now suggesting every cancer is increasing worldwide in virtually every organ system, and it's related to COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, I'm glad, Dr. McCullough, that you brought up how to detox, either whether you got COVID in the wild, which you know is a lot less from the studies, bad as taking the shots, but if you want to detox from it, you're one of the top research doctors out there, one of the, if not the most published. You have actually developed something, come up with something available at OnlineHealthNow.com that you're saying is the go-to here. Spend a few minutes telling us about that anti-spike protein protocol.
It's the base of what we do now in long COVID and vaccine injury syndromes. It's caused because of accumulation of the spike protein from the infection and in a massive doses from the vaccine. It gets stuck in the human body. We need to assist the body in clearing the spike protein. We have several years of observation, multiple peer-reviewed publications on this, very good support for doing this. It's nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme derived from the fermentation of soy. Japanese discovered it. Bromelain, a family of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple. And then lastly, curcumin, derived from turmeric and Indian spice. These are all in capsule format. We give them in combination in between meals, and we're using accelerating doses. People are doing this across the world right now, Alex.
So you build up.
And we build up. Now listen, the initial starting doses were 2,000 units twice a day of natto. We're now going to 4,000 twice a day. We do give them in addition to blood thinners, and we have found sometimes it's the only way to dissolve the blood clots. When people get large vaccine blood clots, the blood thinners just hold it steady. They don't dissolve them. We actually have to give thrombolytic enzymes. That's McCullough Protocol-based spike protein detoxification.
And people can find out all the details of that at OnlineHealthNow.com.
That's the go-to place. The wellness company provides, really the leading quality in the leading formulation. So the spike formulation has not only nattokinase, but five minor ingredients. We combine that with the curcumin and the bromelain for what we think is the ultimate spike detox trio. OnlineHealthNow.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. My guest is Lisa Logan. I just can't tell you how much I enjoy and appreciate this conversation. It really does, as I'm saying, it gets to the heart of so much of what we talk about here, the reason why some of these things are implemented, the real spiritual purpose behind all of it. You got to follow Lisa on X at I Am Lisa Logan. She's on YouTube as well at Parents of Patriots 6581. And there's so many places to go with this. Let's pick up again with the chaplain bill. And so my point when hearing about the bill was, they didn't want chaplains because they hadn't been trained. And my whole point was, That's actually a positive. That's actually, we don't want people trained by these people, interacting with kids and helping to guide their emotional journey or, whatever words they use. The training that these people are subjected to is the social emotional learning training. Like, they're mad that people want to bring in counselors that have a spiritual background, that are religious, when what they want is an army of counselors all pushing this one world religion, fake spirituality
that makes people easy to manipulate and control. So I was in favor of chaplains coming in because I'd rather have untrained counselors than trained ones because I know what the training is like. But I was maybe wrong on that. Explain to me again what's happening with this chaplain bill, because it's happening around the country. I know it's happening in Texas, but it's happening where you are as well. So what's really happening here?
Right. So I think a lot of people don't understand that just like how teachers get certified to teach, you know, K-12 or college programs, they actually do have a training program for chaplains. So if you go to, for instance, chaplain, I think it's called chaplaincyinnovation.org, and the Chaplaincy Innovation Institute, they actually do train these chaplains. And if you look up their partners, you have trans spiritual care. You have all sorts of environmental and eco pushing chaplains. They literally are just like they do with, university students. They are indoctrinating these chaplaincy candidates into having a critical consciousness as well. So I think the problem with, besides the fact that obviously they're going to send these people into schools and really, they always say, you know, it's going to be an opt-in program, but what they're really doing is changing the paradigm of what schooling is, right? And I've talked about this on other programs. I can't remember if we've chatted about it before, Harrison, but what they really want is to bring school to what they call the community schools model, where they're providing everything for the children at school.
Right.
So dental care, reproductive health, literally everything. So kids can go to school, get a vaccine, they can see a counselor, they can literally just about get any need that they met at they need met at school. And what this does is actually cut parents out of the picture, for one, right? Because they eventually want to pass bills that allow kids to decide what care they need on their own without their parental or guardian figuring that out. But also because, again, this whole idea of like, we need to have schools give these kids everything that they need, but it's not going to be academics. Again, it's going to be all of these woke things that basically going to get the kids to believe that they need to go to the state or the government or whatever to get their needs met. It provides a mindset, and we cannot let that happen. We cannot let that happen, and I think just this chaplain thing was another example of one of these bill mills putting something out. They make it sound nice, but really this is a Trojan horse to actually get more indoctrination into schools and away from parents' eyes.
Yeah, there's so much to this that it's like there's a barely audible like hum constantly whenever you hear about any of this stuff. And it's like you can't quite identify it. But it's a through line that runs from like Brave New World. I mean, clearly this is like the Brave New World system they're setting up, right? Everyone belongs to everyone else, and you're not an individual. You're just a part of our collective, and your happiness is derived from being a part of this community, so you'll submit to the community. I mean, all of that clearly was recognized by Aldous Huxley back in the 1920s. A fantastic book on religion called Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future addresses all of this stuff from the very beginning of New Age. I think it was written in the early 80s, but Father Seraphim Rose, Orthodox, you know, priest, he just saw all of this clearly, saw how yoga and the New Age spirituality was clearly a satanic, you know, attempt to undermine the Christian foundations of the nation. It's like there's something that's connecting all these things. There's some unseen thread through all of this stuff that you're really helping to illuminate in a powerful way. And again, I want to suggest people go, especially look at this thread of yours on at I Am Lisa Logan on X. What if I were to show you the same institute, Fetzer, who launched the entire field of emotional learning and the org CASEL, C-A-S-E-L, that sets the five core competencies for all social-emotional learning programs was crazy, and their purpose is to bring in the age of the Archangel Michael. It sounds crazy, but it's absolutely true. And I got some videos on this, but I'm sorry. There's so much I want to say, but I want to get your take, but everything you say I want to go off on. Do you see this as a deliberate plan, or do you see this as just sort of an inevitable consequence of these people really trying to do things right, but just going off the course. I mean, do you think this is all like planned from the beginning, that this is going to be the outcome that they're going for?
Unfortunately, yes. I think it is very much so planned. Marilyn Ferguson wrote a book in the 80s called The Aquarian Conspiracy. And basically that book is not about New Age being a conspiracy itself, you know, as far as like a conspiracy theory. It was literally about how they were creating networks of networks to collaborate on specific initiatives, like how they were going to do experiential education or how they were going to infiltrate politics. And they made ways for them to communicate with each other. Actually, there's a book I just recently got called The Networking Book. And you can see here that this whole entire book is how this guy from NASA used long-distance telephone lines to connect people across the country and across the world so that they could collaborate on putting New Age into literally every sector and institute in America. And this has been happening, unfortunately, for a very long time. I'll give you another example here, right? So spirituality and politics. This is written by Corinne McLaughlin and David Gordonson. David Gordonson's a huge theosophical speaker and writer across the country. Corinne McLaughlin, his wife, was tapped by Bill Clinton to actually implement Agenda 21 in the United States. So she assembled the task force that did this. Unfortunately, these people ended up in positions of power in our government, in our education system, in business, and really, I think we need to start opening our eyes to what's actually going on here. I have a whole thread about the evolutionary leaders that I put together, and they have 12 synergy circles. They've infiltrated religion. It talks everything about what they've done, but this is a true conspiracy in the way that they planned this out. Wow. They figured out how to get these ideas into society. And unfortunately, unlike Jim Jones, right, which you mentioned earlier, which is this cult fringe group, everybody kind of viewed it as a cult fringe group. This has been slowly implemented without anybody saying, hey, this is a religion. This is a worldview that they're trying to get you to adopt. It just kind of got mainstreamed. And now everybody just accepts it.
Right. This is a moral framework that is different and at odds with the religious framework of Christianity, or, you know, the American consciousness as informed by Christianity. Yet people don't realize that their lives, from elementary school and the lessons that they're taught, to the way commercials are phrased, to the news reports they're seeing, are all, without their knowledge or permission, guiding their spiritual life towards a destination that they wouldn't want to head to. And it's astonishing, but it's absolutely true. And we'll show you videos. We're going to come in with a video on the other side, showing you in their own words what this is all about. So this isn't speculation Lisa Logan's talking about here. This is confirmed, and we'll prove it on the other side. Stay with us.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products, like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today. A limited edition, exclusive InfoWars proprietary 24-carat .999 pure gold collectible is now available in this credit card size package, laminated with original InfoWars art. This is a memento to remind you of the fact that you kept InfoWars on the air at a critical time. We could do a straight-up donation drive, but we may have to do one. But this is basically the same thing as donating. You just get this collectible as a thank you from us for what you're doing. So please take action. Get yours right now at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. We cannot stay on the air without your support. This is a collectible, and it is a beautiful piece of gold, a little bar that symbolizes your support of the InfoWar. I humbly ask you to take action and make the decision to keep us on air, because this is your chance to keep InfoWars on the air at a critical juncture in the fight for our republic.
Everybody buys the Life Select storable food, which has a 25-year shelf life, just in case of an emergency. Frankly, it's cheaper to eat the Life Select storable food than it is to get groceries in Biden's economy. Then they don't buy the Alexa Pure water filter in conjunction with the storable food. My thinking is, like, how are you going to prepare the food if you don't have clean water? They go hand in hand. You got to get both. What do you think, Jacob?
You look at every post-apocalyptic movie in the library. The most powerful person has water. I'm a welder. So we have actually pretty sound filtration system, but sure. I recommend to people that can't have the complex system like I have to get the Alexa Pure.
Thank you so much for your call. Super important call, Jacob. I appreciate it. I encourage everyone listening now to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the Life Select storable food. Get the Alexa Pure water filter as well, because you want to make sure that you have the ability to prepare that food with clean, pure water. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Be the reason that we're still on the air.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWars MD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance, or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor or just take our word for it and check out the InfoWars MD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
But he started with spiritualism, and he got interested in New Thought, which is the mind over matter tradition. That was very popular, still is in the United States. It goes on. It's just remarkable the number of different spiritual paths that John Fetzer went down. Well, ultimately, John Fetzer basically created for himself his own spiritual worldview. And it boils down to a metaphysical spirituality, which simply means that he believed in the unity of the universe. All is one. Sometimes it's called cosmological monism. So the spiritual world and the material world are actually all one. And in fact, for John Fetzer, it all basically went back to the spiritual. So everything was interconnected. And everything is interconnected by the circulation of energies of various kinds, either subtle energies, spiritual energies, or physical energies. He believed in human spiritual evolution. He believed that human beings, throughout their lives, through spiritual study, could achieve higher and higher states of consciousness. He ultimately believed in the harmony of science and religion. So he felt that true science and true religion would never conflict. This is an old idea, of course. He really, truly believed that these two things, science and spirituality, ultimately would be harmonized. They'd just be seen as different sides of the same coin. And then finally, he believed in global spiritual transformation. So the idea here is that if enough people achieve higher states of consciousness, then it will catalyze a global transformation. Yeah. And he labeled this The New Age. Yeah. Now, that term, the New Age, had actually been around for a while, but John Fetzer started using it in the 1960s, and that's almost 20 years before it became the New Age movement in the United States. So he was using this term for this global spiritual transformation quite early on, and hence that's why I called the book Johnny Fetzer and the Quest for the New Age.
Wow, and the Fetzer Institute, of course, are the first to come out with social-emotional learning. That video is on a very powerful and informative thread on Lisa Logan's X. Follow her on X at I Am Lisa Logan. She's on YouTube as well at Parents of Patriots 6581. And again, that thread I just retweeted, but it's titled, What If I Were to Show You the Same Institute Fetzer, who launched the entire field of emotional learning, was crazy. And the other purpose was bringing in the age of Archangel Michael, which don't be confused by the biblical, you know, implications of that. It's, well, I would consider it rather satanic. Comments on that video that we just saw, that was a presenter talking about, you know, the life of Fetzer and how he got involved and sort of coined the term New Age, which New Age, New World Order, you know, global spiritual transformation, stakeholder capitalism, the fourth industrial revolution, it all ties in perfectly together. I mean, they fit like puzzle pieces, this social emotional learning and the wider globalist plan of a one world government and one world religion, you know, dominated from a single central council. Put that video in context for us, or elaborate on it, or what stood out to you in that? Hold on. I'm sorry. Sorry, you may have been muted there. If you could just start again.
Yeah, that was Brian Wilson. He wrote the biography on John Fetzer called John Fetzer, The Quest for the New Age. And he, I've read a good lot of it. The endnotes are just amazing, talking about like all the different associations he had with people in power. Mm-hmm. But he's basically detailing their Fetzer's spiritual journey. Again, I told you he was a Seventh-day Adventist. He left there. He kind of dabbled in literally just about everything, which as an adult, you should have the freedom to do so. And obviously our argument here is if his goal was spiritual transformation, if the whole goal of his institute was to bring about the age of the Archangel Michael and all of these different things, then isn't this initiative that we put in schools also about that goal? And unlike Fetzer, who got to choose his spiritual path, they are inculcating a worldview for kids through this program, and essentially kind of challenging any kind of individualistic views that they have. And like you noted, Harrison, I mean, it's not just about, yes, Christianity has that, you know, God gave you free will to choose him, to follow him or not. But it's also the ideology behind the World Economic Forum, behind the UN Sustainable Development Goals, behind stakeholder capitalism, behind communism, behind socialism, this whole idea that we are one, and this is being forced upon children in forced schooling in K-12. So if your kids are there, then this is the ideology that they're bringing about, and it's for the purpose of that global consciousness, that global transformation, for this spiritual worldview.
And you know what's fascinating about all of it is that they're wrong, is that they're actually wrong, and it's like provable with the statistic. Like the more they try to force this on people, the worse everything gets, but they double down. And it's, you know, in contradiction to like when I asked you earlier, like what do you do about all these kids with mental illnesses these days? And you're just like, maybe they should eat dinner with their families. It's like the things that actually solve these issues were not designed by think tanks. Nobody had to like come up with a plan where families hang out together. It's like that's what's natural. That's what's good. That's what's obvious. Nobody had to prove this. Just like when you look at, you know, success for a child. You want to have a mother and a father married together, living in the same house and raising a child together. Nobody had to do experiments, or this wasn't a crazy idea where we used to be raised in a commune. Somebody was like, what if we tried families and it turned out to work well? Like, it's what's natural. It's what's obvious. It's what's just evolutionarily, however we arrived to these things, having a family, marriage, staying together, like these things are what humans need. And as we move away from that and towards social emotional learning, everything gets crazier, but they don't stop. And your point about, you know, the fact they have to measure results. And so then you have to determine who is coming up with what metrics they're measuring by. just fascinating beyond belief and absolutely true. Talk a little bit about that, about how these people never stop pursuing this goal, even when it's proven to be counterproductive.
Oh, definitely. Religious cults are fanatic. I mean, if you look at any religious cult, like, they're willing to do anything to make sure that their ends are met. I mean, look at Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid. I mean, like, so many people died. They don't care about the cost as long as those spiritual goals are met. To your point about the family, it's the original form of government, right? You have everything kind of encompassed in there. And, you know, there's a lot of people who say, yes, these Marxists want to destroy the family. That's their whole end goal, right? Just destroy the family, to do away with personal property, to do all these things. But I think they're missing that last end goal, which is the family is the last stop in getting to the child.
Right.
Because, again, if the child belongs to your tribe, if they really truly believe that, you know, you love them, that you guys are together as a unit, then those are the kids that think freely, that that really hold true to their values that they're raised with, and they can't have that because it gets in the way of their global transformation. I think that, you know, we need to start changing the conversation about what is important and what we're fighting. Because if we're having the wrong conversation about what we're fighting, then we won't come up with the right solution. And so I just think I'm so grateful that you've had me on today, Harrison, to talk about this, because really nobody is talking about this. Nobody, there's very few. James Lindsay, my friend James Lindsay, has been. But even then, we get lambasted by people who are like, it's not Gnosticism, it's not Hermeticism, it's just Marxism, it's just communism, accept it. But no, this is actually true. We have the documents, we have the webinars, like, this is actually happening, folks. And I think that we need to identify it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do a great job. And again, we're barely scratching the surface on this stuff. I mean, everything from the way they use disassociation to, you know, weaponizing children's sense of kindness, you mentioned earlier, like, that alone, we could go on for an hour on how they do that, not just with children, but obviously with adults as well. I want to thank you for all the work that you've done. Again, I just encourage our audience to go follow Lisa at I Am Lisa Logan on YouTube at Parents of Patriots 6581. For parents that are just learning about this, we only have about a minute left, but is homeschool the only way? I mean, what advice do you give to parents? What should they talk to their children about?
I think there are varying degrees we could go with that, right? I think I mentioned on the last time I was on with you about 6 months ago, and I encourage your audience to go check that interview out as well. We kind of dove more into, like, the nuts and bolts of social emotional learning. Yep. But you have to measure your kid. You have to know your kid, right? If your kid's vulnerable to these things, if you have a very young kid, yes, I would take them out of school.
Yeah.
And homeschool your child. If your child has kind of grown up with your values, they understand, like, my kids are in public school, but because we've talked to them about this kind of stuff, and the ideologies behind it since they were young, they're okay, and actually come home and they tell me when they're being indoctrinated, like, hey,
right,
I had a lesson at school and it was doing all this.
You've spiritually vaccinated them against indoctrination, and it is possible, folks, so fear not, but we have to see this for what it is and take the bull by the horns and fight this battle on a spiritual level. Thank you so much for joining us. Lisa Logan at I Am Lisa Logan on it.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like, if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right, so this is why
they've
central
got so
banks
many quadrillions
gold
of fake money. There's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would,
yes,
say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver, historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs, silver does better than gold. So silver grows faster, and there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But What silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.